If you've been on in a cave, you probably don't know this news, but other than that, you probably have heard and are very happy about it. The Memphis City Council finalizing its approval of a resolution that allocates and appropriates $120 million in state grant funding to go towards renovations of Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. And without further ado, we are very pleased to be joined by the University of Memphis Vice President and the Director of Athletics. He's Laird Veach. You can follow him on Twitter at Laird Veach. Happy days, Laird. Finally, it gets done. A lot of hurdles there you had to jump over, but you got it done.
Yeah, well, thank you. There's a lot of people that got it done, Greg. I appreciate that. But it's of course it starts with the Fred Smith family and them come to the table with that incredible gift and challenge to the rest of our Tiger Nation, and really to all of us, the city, the university. I mean, it was a collective effort of a lot of folks, and it will continue to be. It's a big step, but we got a lot of work ahead too. So it's gonna be fun.
It was interesting because this whole time period, we've been waiting to see, well, what are the Grizzlies going to do and how will that directly impact the University of Memphis and the stadium? And then, of course, at that time, it was not even thought of that you guys would take ownership of the stadium. So a lot of different things have changed since we even began talking about this. And the, you know, the renderings, that video seemed like it was 20 years ago about what the stadium may look like. But again, you get the job done. Of course, Fred Jones yesterday got his contract for future years of hosting his game at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. But as far as the other details are concerned, Fred Smith and the Smith family's donation of $50 million coincides with you guys raising $50 million. You add that together with the $120 allocated from the state, you're talking about $220 million, which actually is more than what we originally thought when the plan had come out by the former mayor, Jim Strickland, that it was maybe $200 million. So all things go according to plan, and you raise this money, Lair, which you, I know, are expected to do so. $220 million seems like some pretty good coin to make significant changes and to revolutionize this stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, I mentioned this in another statement here recently, but you know, we throw around the transformational buzzword a bunch in our business, but this is really, really, truly transformational. It really unlocks so many things for not just our football program, but our institution. When you own a venue of this magnitude, and you're able to really invest in it and maximize it long term, it changes things, and it just puts you in a position where you can make decisions that you can't make otherwise. And you know, it sends a big message. But you know, we're all about, you know, evolving and continuing to get to you know, the next level of college athletics, whatever that may be in our future, which is still kind of to be determined by a lot of folks. You know, this is one of those things that just positions you for that, because this is what, you know, this is what big time schools, big time programs do. And you know, we're excited about the opportunity to make it happen.
With the $50 million that you guys will now endeavor to raise yourselves, that campaign, how does that go? If you know, we got a text message from somebody that asked, is there a way they can contribute a little bit? Like, what? Tell us a little bit about how that plan is going to be put in place to raise that $50
million. Yeah, well, you know, the way I've described it is this is the very much not quiet phase of the quiet phase of our capital campaign. So, you know, in the typical world of fundraising, kind of 101, you start these things in the background, and you do that because you know, it really, your success is determined overall by, you know, the top end of that pyramid. That's just the candid way to make it happen. It's going to take everybody coming to the table, but we've got to secure more really significant, you know, seven figure type gifts at a level and number that we haven't done before. But the capacity's there, and the willingness is there. I just, even from the conversations we've had to this point, it can be done, but it's going to take a lot of people stepping up. And so the thought is to take these next, you know, months and really focus on those gifts. And then when we get into, you know, the fall and sort of turning the corner towards the end of the year, we'll have more what I would call kind of grassroots campaigns, opportunities for everybody to get involved, because it is going to take everybody doing their part. But we got to start at the top and just, you know, really accelerate the process and and get some good momentum. We got some incredible momentum, but we gotta keep it going.
You mean you don't just go on today and like start a GoFundMe page and say, hey, give me $5?
Could take a lot of those $5. Yes. Take a whole lot of those $5.
The Smith family, they have not set any type of a deadline. You have to match it by whenever, right?
Yeah, we've really, in conjunction with them, set this year as the bar. I mean, we need to move this thing forward. So we've got this calendar year. And, you know, that also is a fast timeline, but I think it's doable. And I think what that does is allow us to continue to, you know, accelerate the construction process, which, you know, from the beginning, I've been really bullish about our need to get this thing going because, you know, prices are going to do nothing but go up. And, you know, the sooner that we get it done, the sooner we can start taking advantage of it. So, you know, this allows us now to kind of move forward. If we move forward with a fast expectation from a fundraising standpoint, we can move forward faster with construction. And, you know, we're going to have to get started, you know, as soon as possible. The thought initially is to move, you know, all those game day components from the east side. So, you know, think of it as where the coaches sit, the operations, media, the television, and changing that television angle from the east side to the west side. From the west side to the east side. And then that way it looks back to the new components on the west side. So we need to get that done first because, you know, obviously you got to have those game day components set and ready so you can continue to move forward and, you know, take down the west side and start the construction and do all those things. So there's a lot of decisions here in the coming weeks and months that got to be made, but we're in a really, really good position to now move that forward and make it happen.
All right, so you got $120 million in your pocket from the state to begin renovations. Correct. So you have $120 million. They'll start the renovations. They'll start that first phase. But you have not ironed out exactly those details because certainly what you don't want to be doing is going through the construction. $120 million is used up and you're still waiting to get your $50 million to match the $50 million from the Smith family and they stop with the construction. So where do things stand as far as when you think you can get this thing started and is the timeline still on target for when you want this thing completed by and how it will affect only really the 2024 season and be done by the 2025. Is that still in play?
Yeah, I think we're getting really close to be able to make those decisions like in the coming weeks. But we have to now really analyze things from a funding standpoint because it's just to your point, you don't want to overextend, right? And there is a balance of, it gets more complex than what you might think on the surface because, you know, there's a balance of when pledges are made, when donations are fulfilled. Typically these, you know, particularly these 7-8 figure kind of gifts, they're paid out over like a 5-year period. So you got to be able to manage that and understand the impact of the cash flow of construction and when that has to happen. So, you know, again, I think we'll get a lot of clarity here in the next weeks, but we're not quite ready to say exactly how it'll impact, say, for this next season, or you know, the season after that. We got to clarify some things with our construction team, the architects, and really drill down so that we make good decisions. And we're pushing it. Now, don't get me wrong; it's highly urgent, but we got to analyze it a little more. All because you know we have this new funding formula, right? We didn't have this funding formula before. It was $220 million, you know, available right away that you could commit to. And, you know, to your point, we got a lot of money to raise and we got to manage it, you know, responsibly.
Throughout this process of getting it handed over to you guys, amongst all the debate and everything else was the talk about what Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium was to the city and that, you know, it was a money loser to them. And some people called it an albatross, whatever. How do you guys make it so it is? How does it not be being a money loser for you guys?
Yeah, well, two things. First of all, you know, without the renovation, it would be really, really, really hard, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's so many deferred maintenance issues, and it just doesn't generate the revenue on the surface without some of those, you know, premium components, the suites mm-hmm. and the more club seats and, you know, all those things. So the formula doesn't work until we get that renovation done. But when you do that, coupled with what I would call just some efficiencies of us being the, you know, obviously the primary tenant and being the, you know, the shifting to owner is, you know, we spend money on staff and things that happen throughout the year over there for our 6-7 games, that, you know, we can now, you know, really utilize it as an owner that you can manage differently. And, you know, just long term, you make smarter, you know, more efficient decisions over time. When, you know, I think that the analogy I've used is, it's kind of the difference between somebody renting a house and somebody owning a house. Mm-hmm. When you own a house, you invest in it and you treat it differently and you think about it long term. And eventually those efficiencies come to the surface. But it's going to take a lot of work, right? And it's not an easy process. And particularly over the next few years, it is tough. But long term, there's no question. Once you get that renovation done, it really turns the corner into a, you know, very positive opportunity.
And you have a company that you're going to be working with as far as running the operations of the stadium, correct?
Yeah. So OBG's been running it for some time now. They have a contract in place here for the next couple of years. They've been great. We, you know, particularly even through this process, as we've really had to dig in and start doing our due diligence and look at the numbers and just understanding the process. So just having them at the table is one of the many things that gives you kind of a comfort and ability to manage the transition, you know, because you can imagine if you just went from having nobody to trying to have the staff and the infrastructure mm-hmm. all set in place to just turn over and run and manage a stadium. So that does make it a much more manageable situation. And you know, I could very much see that continuing long term as well. But we got to now jump into it and get to know each other and learn a lot and, you know, manage through this renovation together, et cetera.
You mentioned earlier about, you know, the goal has always been to kind of get to that next level, whatever that might be. Do you feel like this is kind of the missing piece in your quest or your goals of getting to that next level, to a bigger conference, all of that?
You know, in terms of the things we can control, yes. I mean, you know, that if you look at, you know, the things, the sort of hurdles we've run into in recent years, and, you know, it's been widely talked about. At one point, it was sort of a, you know, it was an academic perception of our institution, and, you know, that has certainly shifted pretty dramatically in recent years. And, you know, of course, winning is probably, can't believe the number one thing you can do. But, you know, we'd also run into a lot, you know, the best way to put it is we just didn't really look like we belonged, right? If you look at our football stadium, which is kind of the lens through which many of these programs, whether that's commissioners or athletic directors, coaches, others that are fans that are looking at our program, how we look and how we kind of present ourselves matters when it comes to our football stadium. So combining the fact that now we own it, which is also an important position to be in terms of the message that sends, with the renovation and how that's going to change our look and unlock our capacity to generate more revenue for our programs, it's a huge, huge piece. And then it becomes things that, you know, you can't control, which ultimately are decisions of others and just the overall structure of college athletics. You know, of course, we continue to sell and network and politic and do all the things in the background, but ultimately that's going to be dependent on, you know, how things continue to evolve in the conference landscape.
Laird Veach joining us, University of Memphis Vice President and Director of Athletics. Could you briefly talk about the phases, so for people who don't understand how this is going to be constructed?
Yeah, so, you know, I alluded to the first part, which is going to kind of, you know, making it all work by moving game operations from the west side to the east side. It'd be really phase one, along with some deferred maintenance things. You know, there's leaks and things that have to be taken care of. We got to firm up. And then we'll really shift into primarily that west side. So think about it in the pretty pictures you've seen is transforming that west side from what it is now to essentially a new stadium that has, you know, the most recent kind of modern day suites and loge boxes and club seats, club areas. And that's obviously important because of the revenue it generates, but it also really, changes the look of the stadium. I mean, it is going to look like an entirely different venue because of, you know, that transformation. That's really kind of the front porch of that stadium. And then there's going to be other elements. We've talked about the halo and trying to more activate that kind of no man's land between when you first enter the outer gates to where you enter the other gates, and moving that perimeter to the outer halo, which will be basically our ownership line. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where the university, or excuse me, the Auxiliary Services Foundation, and us will be managing moving forward. So we got to activate that space. So there's hospitality areas in there, and we change concessions and opportunities and those kind of things. It impacts everybody. And then, you know, you're going to continue, now that you own it, to think about it long term too. And there's going to be future phases. You know, that this allows us to think about even at $220 million, a lot of money, but it doesn't solve every problem, right? There's going to be more things down the road that you're going to want to do. But you can really focus on this, take a massive step forward, and then you're in a position where you don't have to make those big, big, massive shifts. You can take it in smaller chunks over time to continue to refine the stadium.
Will the east side retain the suites, and will they be enhanced, or are they going to be eliminated? What happens there? Because I know you're moving all the operations from the west to the east.
Yeah, it's a good clarification. So essentially what we're going to do is take the second level of suites on the east side and convert that to those game day spaces. So that's where our media will go, that's where our coaches will go, that's where television booths will go. You know, all those operational components will be on the second floor of where the suites are now, and then the first floor will retain as suites. And then I could see us doing other things, you know, eventually along that east side as well. But for now, we're really going to focus on, you know, the remainder of the dollars really transforming the west side.
So for like next, if somebody had a second level suite over there right now, like what will happen to them for like next year?
We're working on that, and they know it's coming. So some of that it's going to be a combination of a few things. So some of that, there's some what I would call either comp suites or university suites. There's some availability that we can use to shift for our paying customers and take care of them first. And then, you know, we're also talking about, you know, how we built that outdoor area on the west side, the sort of outdoor club as a outcome of COVID and kind of dealing with our COVID challenges. And that was hugely popular. So we're looking at some things like that we think we can do on a temporary basis, that may allow us to offset some of that and have a place for people that, you know, when we are constructing the west side, for them to be able to move into, you know, that may be in suites or club seats over there. So we got to work through all those fine details next. I mean, that's a lot of what we got to manage. But we'll have options, and you know, we're going to make sure our best put folks from an investment standpoint have a chance to, you know, have a good place to go.
I don't remember how long the deal is, and I don't know what the payments are, but the payments that come from Simmons Bank for the naming rights, does that now go to you guys, and is that applied towards your $50 million that you need to raise?
It does transfer to us. So really, all of the, you know, kind of primary business relationships that are under contract with the city, you know, part of the transfer of ownership means we assume all those contracts, right? So yes, the answer is that the dollars do come back to us through the Auxiliary Services Foundation. Now, what we will, that would not count towards the $50 million because that's part of what you use to pay for operations, right? And as you have heard many times, we're in a negative scenario already from an annual just operation revenue to expenses. So, you know, we're not going to be in a position to apply, you know, anything directly to that $50 million. But it does certainly help, you know, us manage the place and do it, you know, do it the right way.
Well, good times ahead, no question about it. Obviously, the green light is official, and the plans will move forward. We appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man, Lair. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy to do it. Take care, guys. Go Tigers, go.